afternoon. It's 42 degrees in Richland Center at 12:06. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Governor Tony Evers has extended the energy emergency in the state of Wisconsin due to persistent challenges caused by a pipeline disruption within the Midwestern Pipeline Distribution System, coupled with high demand for residential heating fuel, including heating oil and propane. The executive order will support the efficient delivery of these products throughout the state. According to the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin's Office of Energy Innovation, multiple suppliers report continued challenges with having to drive further distances to collect needed products. The order extends the waiver of certain state and federal hours of service and adds a waiver to state weight limit restrictions, allowing suppliers to get caught up from the pipeline and weather-related delays. The waiver remains in effect through January 16th, or as long as drivers transporting residential heating fuel are responding to the emergency, whichever is shorter. The winter in Wisconsin seems to be swinging wildly between snowstorms and spring-like warmth, and now health experts say the real danger this season may be how quickly people are letting their guard down. Dr. Chris Kernich is an infectious disease physician and professor at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He says it's important to stay vigilant around your health during what's already an unpredictable winter. Kernich says fluctuating temperatures can make it harder for people to recognize when they're getting sick. One day calls for a winter coat, while the next feels warm enough for shorts. Those rapid changes can stress the body while respiratory viruses quietly spread. For those feeling under the weather ahead of holiday travel or family gatherings, staying home is sometimes the most caring choice. Dr. Kernich is urging people to pay attention to warning signs like fever, worsening cough, shortness of breath, fatigue, or symptoms that linger longer than expected. Those are signals to test, stay home, or talk with a doctor, not to power through. Vaccination remains one of the most effective tools, Kernich says, but Wisconsin's uptake is lagging. According to state data, flu vaccination rates remain low across much of the state, including major population centers like Milwaukee and Dane County. Kernich also addresses growing questions around RSV, a respiratory virus that can be especially dangerous for older adults and people with underlying conditions. RSV has received more attention in recent years, but Kernich stresses that it's not a political issue. This is a public health one. And while winter will continue to deliver surprises, Kernich says the basics still matter: vaccinations, hydration, rest, and listening to your body. The tools to stay healthy are well known. The challenge, he says, is remembering to use them. Amplify Health by Gunderson is reminding everyone to take steps to preserve health when the seasonal blues set in. Christy Harris is a wellness education specialist with Gunderson.
It has such a huge impact on us, not just for our overall health, but like our sleep. It affects the hormone levels in our body, vitamin deficiencies. Yeah, so it really has a big impact on our oral health, especially for us up in the northern part of the country. The further away from the equator we get, the worse it tends to get.
You're not alone if you've noticed that the shorter, colder days have started to take their toll on your mental and physical well-being.
So I think the first thing is that we know that this is something that's happening, right? And so I think it's important for us to be prepared for it. Already in the Midwest, we have a tendency to be lower in vitamin D levels in particular. So that's one that, depending upon your provider, I always encourage you to have this conversation with your provider first. But a lot of providers will say, yeah, definitely you need to take some extra vitamin D during the winter. Some will even say even all year round, because even sometimes where we live here, we may not get enough vitamin D throughout the entire year. Exercise has a huge component. The more that we get up and we move, the better our body feels. It takes better care of itself. And then we also tend to eat a little bit better as well. So as it gets colder and it gets darker, we tend to crave those kind of carb foods that maybe aren't always the healthiest for us. And so if we can watch what we're eating, getting some activity in, making sure that we're really trying to work on that adequate sleep, it can make a big impact in our overall health.
In addition to making changes to our nutrition and exercise, changes to our motivation can also have a positive impact on our mood.
I think the thing to keep in mind is anytime that we have something to look forward to, something that's kind of driving us and getting us excited about something definitely helps to boost our mood. So if we're in a time of the year where mood kind of tends to be affected, absolutely, that could be something that people could use. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go to some amazing tropical destination, although that would be nice. But it means just something that you can look forward to kind of help. And then remember that that's just for that short time frame. All these other things that we've talked about before is all important that you do that in conjunction with that looking forward to a getaway.
As Amplify Health by Gunderson explained, this time of year not only can play a role with our physical and mental well-being, but it can change our sleep patterns, affect our body's hormones, and lead to vitamin deficiencies. Richland School District business official John Bosworth presented information about the 2025-26 property taxes and why some municipalities saw varying degrees of increases or decreases at last night's district board meeting. Each year, municipalities make up slightly different shares of the total. Those shares shift slightly from year to year. Reassessment changes how the levy is shared, not the levy itself. School funding comes from different sources, school aid from the state and the municipal tax levy. If school aid goes down, then the municipal tax levy goes up to keep the funding level. The latest tax levy for the district increased from $10.03 million to $10.4 million, or around a $380,000 increase. Representatives from the McKinstry Consulting attended the board meeting to provide an update on the work completed so far and to explain the cost structure for the additional buildings and the capital improvement strategic plan. The board approved spending an additional $12,900 to add the campus gymnasium and Melville Hall to the plan. The board also approved the recommended alternate projects of high school bathroom remodels, Hive Drive improvements, intermediate school health upgrades, and primary school painting upgrades at a budgeted cost of $430,562. This will still leave around $1 million in contingency funds. District Administrator Steve Board gave the first quarter discipline report, which showed a positive improvement from previous years for the district as a whole. Among other items approved at the meeting were an Argentina short-term exchange program with Flagstep, an agreement between Richland School District and Ithaca School District for cross-country for the 2026-27 school year, one open enrollment in application and four open enrollment out applications for the current school year, and the 2026 Spring Early College Credit Program and Start College Now College Up courses. A bill to delist the gray wolf in Wisconsin has passed the U.S. House. The legislation, introduced by Republican Congressman and candidate for governor Tom Tiffany, delists the gray wolf from the Endangered Species Act, prevents endless lawfare from overturning the decision, and restores authority to state lawmakers and wildlife officials to responsibly manage gray wolf populations. Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association applauded the passage, saying it marks a step forward to protect the state's cattle population. The bill now heads to the U.S. Senate. A business closure will likely put 80 people out of a job in central Wisconsin next year. The Prince Corporation of Marshfield went into receivership last week and notified the Department of Workforce Development, saying it will close next year if it can't find a buyer. The company distributes farm and garden supplies. Prince is one of Marshfield's longest-running companies, originally founded in 1886. A Wisconsin woman who almost killed her sixth-grade classmate to please the fictional Slender Man has been ordered back to a state psychiatric hospital after she escaped from her group home last month. A judge today granted state officials' request to revoke her release privileges. Geyser and her friend Anissa Weyer attacked their classmate in 2014, hoping to impress Slender Man. Both were then committed to mental health facilities. Geyser was conditionally released in September, but fled with a companion. Police arrested them outside Chicago. Geyser's companion said they became friends at church and saw each other daily. One of the defense attorneys for Judge Hannah Dugan says they plan to ask a federal judge to throw out her guilty verdict. Steve Bisicup, a former U.S. attorney, told the Upfront program that he believes the jury may have been confused by the judge's instructions. Dugan was convicted of a felony obstruction charge, but cleared of a misdemeanor. Biskupic says the challenge will focus on whether the jurors got clear guidance on key questions during deliberations. Governor Tony Evers has granted another 167 pardons, bringing his total number of pardons granted during his time in office to 1,807. The Wisconsin Constitution grants the governor the power to pardon individuals convicted of a crime. A pardon is an official act of forgiveness that restores rights lost when someone is convicted of a felony, including the right to serve on a jury, hold public office, and hold certain professional licenses. A pardon does not expunge court records. Individuals convicted of a Wisconsin felony may apply for a pardon if they completed their sentence at least 5 years ago and have no pending criminal charges. Individuals currently required to register on the sex offender registry are ineligible for a pardon. There is also an expedited review process for applications that meet stricter criteria, including a greater length of time elapsed since sentence completion and nonviolent nature of the offenses. A person was injured in a one-vehicle crash. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports that on Monday morning at approximately 2 o'clock, the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center was notified of a crash on Coon Prairie Road in the town of Viroqua. The caller reported that a person was laying on the ground near a vehicle that left the roadway. The injured person was transported to Vernon Health by Lafarge Area Ambulance. Also responding to the scene with the Sheriff's Office were the Westby Police Department, Viroqua Fire Department, and Westby EMS. It's hard to believe that this year will soon be coming to a close and will be bringing in the new year. During 2025, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection received many consumer reports about a wide variety of scams. Some scams were reported more than others. Michelle Reinen is with DATCAP.
You know, there's just been a lot of top scams this year with local and state and federal government agencies being impersonated. That has been a real driver, and we really appreciate consumers always letting us know. And I will say one thing that definitely sticks out from the year is when we all received the toll, the fake toll text message, where I feel like it hit every telephone in Wisconsin at the same time. The bells were ringing at that point in time.
There were also well-known scams that had new ways to try fooling consumers.
We saw new twists on the jury duty scam this year. Not only did we see that come through on our phones, but then they were directing us to websites to make payments and hand over personal information. So a lot of new twists and variations to some oldie but goodies circulating our state this year.
Michelle Reinen hopes that consumers continue reporting scams now and in the new year.
I hope that anyone who also got into a jam shared their story, because they likely helped someone else stay out of that same jam. So please contact Consumer Protection with your information and stories so we can share them.
If you are a victim of a scam and would like help or to share your story, you can contact DATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. The holiday travel rush has begun. AAA estimates nearly 120 million Americans will hit the road or take to the sky for the holidays this year, including almost 2.5 million Wisconsinites. That's a 2% increase over last year and a new record. A vast majority of people are driving. Highways were busy over the weekend, and AAA expects a lot of traffic on Friday. Whenever you travel this week, if you want to avoid congestion, they suggest you leave before 10 a.m. AAA data also shows a 7% jump in flight prices. The average domestic round-trip flight now costs nearly $900. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources celebrates the completion of the 2025 elk hunting season. The state's 8th managed elk hunt opened October 18th and concluded December 19th. The 30 Wisconsin state-licensed hunters who participated in this year's hunt were randomly selected from a pool of more than 26,000 applicants. The DNR received 17,737 applications to hunt in the Clam Lake Northern Elk Range and 8,452 applications for the Black River Central Elk Range. An 8-bull quota was established for the Clam Lake Elk Range. 4 licenses were awarded to state hunters, and per treaty rights, the Ojibwa tribes declared a harvest of 4 bulk elk. In the Black River Elk Range, 5 antlerless and 4 bull licenses were issued to state hunters, up from a 4-bull quota in 2024. State-licensed hunters found success in both elk ranges, in which a total of 7 bulls and 5 antlerless elk were harvested statewide. In the Black River Elk Range, nearly all license holders found success, filling 5 of 5 antlerless tags and 3 of 4 bull tags. Some hunters found success during the first opportunity to hunt elk from mid-October to mid-November, while others filled their tags in the December time frame. In the Clam Lake Elk Range, all 4 state-licensed hunters harvested bull elk in the first 2 weeks of the season. Tribal hunters have until Sunday, January 4th, to complete their pursuit of elk within Wisconsin's ceded territory. The application period for the nonprofit security grant program is now open. The grant program is for nonprofit organizations that may be at risk of a terrorist attack due to their ideology, beliefs, or mission. It is a federal grant administered by Wisconsin Emergency Management that provides support for nonprofit organizations that are operating a facility in Wisconsin. This funding opportunity can be used on security-related activities such as planning, exercises, training, contracted security personnel, and the acquisition and installation of security equipment. Applicants must be able to demonstrate that their nonprofit organization is at risk for a terrorist attack due to ideology, beliefs, or mission. They must also be able to provide a written vulnerability risk assessment that identifies security gaps within their organization, along with detailed information about the specific threats, the vulnerabilities that exist, and the potential consequences if action is not taken. The deadline to apply is January 15th. Completed applications should be submitted to nsgp@widma.gov. FEMA and WEM guidance for the grant opportunity, including application requirements, are available online at wem.wi.gov/nsgp. 2 webinars for application information are scheduled for Tuesday, January 6th from 2 to 3:30, and Monday, January 12th from 10 to 11:30. No pre-registration is necessary. Visit wem.wi.gov/nsgp for access. This year's annual Making a Difference Awards will be presented soon. The annual award, sponsored by Richland Rejuvenates and WRCO Radio Civic Media, will be presented at the annual banquet held this year on Sunday, January 31st at the Phoenix Center Banquet Hall in Richland Center. This awards program was started to honor those who have made a difference in our daily lives. It is meant to be a time when the community and county can stop and say thank you and recognize those efforts. Nominations are needed from community residents to identify those special people that may go unnoticed by the community. It is the community and citizens of the greater Richland County area, because they are the ones that truly know who these people are, as many of those deserving recognition do the things they do to make a difference quietly and unnoticed. These awards may be given for work done in the previous 12 months or for an entire body of work. Nominations are being accepted for Employee of the Year, going to an outstanding employee who has made a large impact on the organization while exemplifying ethics and integrity, consistency, quality of work with collaboration and a team mindset. The person who shows up every day at work and makes a difference for coworkers and the company that employs them. Business of the Year is a business that has made an impact on our community through its work, its employee impact, its volunteerism, or its leadership to create growth and a true sense of a community. Outstanding Organization Award is an organization, formal or informal, that has made an impact on our community through its work, its vision, its volunteerism, or its leadership to create a caring, compassionate community. Civic Leadership Award goes to an employee of the city, county, state, or other governmental agency who goes above and beyond the call of duty to enhance Richland County. This could be a city, county, or state employee, a member of city council or county board, school board member, or school employee. Nonprofit of the year that makes our county a better place to live and deserves recognition. The Best Face Forward Award is presented to recognize a business or commercial property owner who has improved the appearance of a building or property in our community. Community Stewardship Award is for an individual or couple who has truly made a difference in our community, providing inspiration and vision by touching the lives of Richland County residents. Their impact and dedication make Richland County and the center of it all. Stewardship is an ethic that embodies responsible planning and management of resources. The Emergency Responder Award will give special recognition to the individuals who risk their lives to save others. Nominations are encouraged in support of firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders. The Educator of the Year nominee should have built strong and caring relationships with students while excelling and demonstrating a knowledge and passion of the subject matter, showing they have taught that subject effectively to their students. This person should also understand the individual needs of students, encourage the students to use their talents, and foster their self-esteem. The recipient should be able to show they can foster cooperative relationships with their colleagues and the community. Medical Hero Award or Healthcare Professional of the Year Award goes to anyone working in the medical field, which could include doctors, nurses, CNAs, or anyone involved in serving in the medical arena in any way, including those behind the scenes, such as support staff. This award winner is someone who gives of themselves to make us a healthier community. Up-and-Coming Youth Award is meant to recognize someone 18 or under who is making a difference in the community or school. The recipient should be someone who puts others before themselves, demonstrated by the example of their efforts. Nomination is easy. You may submit a nomination by mailing the information to Making a Difference, care of Southwest Partners Incorporated, P.O. Box 651, Richland Center, 53581, or email your nomination to swp.acctg@gmail.com or drop the information off at 1313 West Seminary Street, Suite 100 in Richland Center. For questions, call 608-604-7022. The nomination should include a couple of paragraphs on why you're making the nomination. Nominations are due by Monday, January 9th. The nominee must be a resident of Richland County. Businesses must be either located in or doing business in Richland County. Please be sure to tell why you nominated this individual or business with as much detail as possible. The winners in the Richland Center High School Band Meet for the Beat raffle were drawn this morning. The first prize winner of a quarter beef is Connie Jewell of Richland Center. The second prize winner of a whole hog and a stick of summer sausage is Heather Tomei of Richland Center. And the third prize winner of seven rump roasts, seven packages of brats, seven chickens, and seven sticks of summer sausage is Tiffany Olson of Richland Center. Today's winner in the Ithaca Music Boosters calendar raffle is Lisa Clary with ticket number 444.